every now and again we hear said, or perhaps even say it to ourselves, let's just forget about the past and go forward. Now, there are some contexts in which this is good, sound advice. After all, even Paul said that we should forget the things behind and press on. You don't want to spend your entire life beating yourself up on issues that are already forgiven and forgotten. However, totally forgetting the past can be a very dangerous thing when it comes to going forward to God, for God. Because when Israel forgot the past, she failed in the presence. And the memory of past history can be a great safeguard of the future. Asaph was a man who remembered the past, and he wanted Israel to remember the past. Specifically, what he wanted Israel to remember were the things that made God so angry that he punished her. The reason why he wanted Israel to remember this was so that she would not do the things again that would anger God. He wanted her to experience the full blessings of God, and remembering some of the past would be helpful for this. Now, we notice from this superscription that this psalm, Psalm 78, is a masculine of Asaph. And Asaph wrote this for the purpose of study and instruction. And the point of the psalm is this. It's extremely important for God's people to remember past times of failure when God punished his people, so they may choose the path of righteousness and blessing and not have to be punished again. God does not want his people to forget everything about the past. He wants his people to specifically remember what life was like when they were not right with him, and what it's like when they are right with him. So we notice from verse 1 that this psalm is written for my people. So this psalm is written to and for believers and not unbelievers. Our message to an unbeliever is to come to Christ and forget the past, but the message to the believer is to remember things from the past so that you may not repeat it. So we have some sections here. The first one is the challenge to listen to the instruction of the history of Israel and learn from it. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation, the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Now we read verse 1, we can't help but see that the emphasis is on listening to the instruction of the Word of God. This is a critical key to a life that ends up pleasing God. This is the key to a life that does not have to be corrected by God. A person who listens to the Word of God is making various judgments all the time, and if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. Now, there's much in Scripture that is historical, and that historical data is not there to put words on paper. They are there for didactic reasons. According to verse 2, Asaph was going to use some dark moments of Israel's history as a form of parabolic instruction. According to verse 3, these dark stories were true stories that had been passed down from their fathers. In fact, according to verse 4, it is imperative that every generation learn these things because they speak of the wonderful work of God. John Phillips said one of the worst attitudes that parents can adopt is an attitude that says, I am not going to force religion on my children. I'm going to let them make up their own minds when they are old enough. What will happen if you take that position is the world and godless teachers will eat them alive. It's the job of the parent to not conceal the truth of God from their children. And according to verse 5, it's the parent's responsibility to tell their children about the praises and strength and power of God. Asaph says in verses 5 through 7, that the reason why he is presenting these stories is so that children can know about God's special relationship with Israel. They needed to know that they can put their trust and confidence in God. They never want to forget about his work, and they always need to obey his word. The problem is clearly stated in verse 8. The track record of Israel's history is one of rebellion. Israel's history is the story of how God chose a people and gave his word to his people, and his people rebelled against his word. Israel lost many blessings of God because of her rebellion, and it was the fathers who led the nation that way. There's no question that fathers will affect their children. The challenge to remember the illustration of Ephraim. Look at verse 9 through 11. The Ephraimites, armed with the bow, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep covenant, God's covenant, but refused to walk according to his law. They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. Ephraim was the largest tribe in northern Israel that lived in a very plush land. This area was known to be an area richly blessed by God, but the sons of Ephraim were not known for their faithfulness to God. We're not certain as to the specific historical background on this, but because they did not train their young people to think about God and honor God, there were negative facts that brought out. God's people were well equipped to fight a good fight. Now, apparently, we get a glimpse here of the problem. Instead of trusting in God, they trusted in their bows and arrows. They did not trust in God for victory. They trusted in themselves. And then God's people turned from their responsibility in the face of the fight. They had weapons and the training, but when they were in the battle, they ran away. Because they did not trust in God, God let them be defeated like a bunch of cowards. And then God's people did not obey God's word. They did not guard the word of God or walk according to his word. And John Calvin said, when a believer refuses to walk according to the word of God, it adds to the enormity of their guilt. And God's people forgot about all God had done for them. It's shameful. It's disgraceful. And Calvin said, this is not just stupidity. This is a monstrous thing. There's a total breakdown in the people of God. Instead of accomplishing things for God, they accomplished nothing. They did not go forward. They went backward. They did not develop in their faith and relationship with God. In fact, they forgot God. And then we see the list of things Israel forgot led to her downfall. Look at verses 12 through 72. In the sight of the fathers, he performed wonders in the land of Egypt and the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and let them pass through it, and made the waters stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. Yet they sinned still more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their hearts by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" He struck the rock so the water gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he also give bread or provide meat for his people? Therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of wrath. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger rose against Israel because they did not believe in God and did not trust his saving power. Yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Man ate of the bread of the angels. He sent them food in abundance. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he led out the south wind. He rained meat on them like dust, winged birds like the sand of the seas. He let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings. And they ate and were well filled, for he gave them what they craved. But before they had satisfied their cravings, while the food was still in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them. And he killed the strongest of them and laid low the young men of Israel. In spite of all this, they still sinned. Despite his wonders, they did not believe. So he made their days vanish like a breath and their years in terror. When he killed them, they sought him. They repented and sought God earnestly. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. But they flattered him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast toward him. Yet they were not faithful to his covenant. Yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity, and did not destroy them. He restrained his anger often and did not stir up all his wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and comes not again. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. They tested God again and again and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power or the day when he redeemed them from the foe, when he performed his signs in Egypt and his marvels in the fields of Zoan. He turned their rivers to blood so that they could not drink of their streams. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them and frogs which destroyed them. He gave their crops to the destroying locust and the fruit of their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamores with frost. He gave over their cattle to the hail and their flocks to thunderbolts. He let loose on them his burning anger, wrath, indignation, and distress, a company of destroying angels. He made a path for his anger. He did not spare them from death, but gave them lives, their lives over to the plague. He struck down every firstborn in Egypt, the first fruits of their strength in the tents of Ham. Then he led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them in safety so that they were not afraid. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies, and he brought them to his holy land, to the mountain which his right hand had won. He drove out nations before them. He apportioned them for a possession and settled the tribes of Israel in their tents. Yet they tested and rebelled against the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned away and acted treacherously like their fathers. They twisted like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places. They moved him to jealousy with their idols. When God heard, he was full of wrath, and he utterly rejected Israel. He forsook his dwelling at Shiloh, the tent where he dwelt among mankind, and delivered his power to captivity, his glory to the hand of the foe. He gave his people over to the sword and vented his wrath on his heritage. Fire devoured their young men, and their young women had no marriage song. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, like a strong man, shouting because of wine. And he put his adversaries to rout. He put them to everlasting shame. He rejected the tent of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loves. He built his sanctuary like the high heavens, like the earth which he has founded forever. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the nursing ewes he brought him, to shepherd Jacob his people, Israel his inheritance. With upright heart he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. So we see here amazing section of Scripture where God is direct about what he has done. God is someone that can be trusted. God is somebody that was looked to. And as incredible as it may seem, there are at least 21 realities that Israel forgot. These things are miraculous, and one would think it'd be impossible to forget. Israel forgot about God's deliverance of the Red Sea. Zoan was one of the oldest cities in Egypt. It's clear from verse 43 that Moses performed some of the great signs in this very field. Furthermore, as verse 13 says, God parted the sea for Israel. She forgot about this. Israel forgot about God's miraculous leading. God literally had miraculously and physically led Israel as a nation, and they forgot it. Israel forgot about God's miraculous provisions. God provided food and water for Israel. He did not give her just provisions, but abundant provisions. Israel forgot about how she sinned and rebelled against God. These people persisted in their evil sin and were persistent in their lust-crazed existence. Israel forgot about how she spoke against God. They actually questioned God's ability to supply their needs. Think of this. They saw God do so much, and they are still questioning God's ability to supply. And then Israel forgot about how she angered God. Notice why she angered God. Because she did not believe in him or trust in his salvation. They trusted more in themselves to save themselves than in God. Israel forgot about how she disbelieved God. Israel forgot about how God cared for her and provided for her in spite of her rebellion. God could have rained fire and brimstone, but instead he rained manna and birds. Israel forgot how God killed some of them. Israel forgot about how she would not repent. Some say if I could just see God perform some miracles, I would believe that that wouldn't last long. Israel forgot about how God brought her terror and destruction. Israel forgot about how God's terrifying judgment brought her to a temporary repentance. There are some rare moments in the history of Israel when the terrible things that happened to her caused her to turn back to God. What is so sad is that she could have used the great blessings and provisions of God to turn back to God, but that did not do it. Israel forgot about their deception. God's people were liars and their hearts were not devoted to him. They made their confessions of faith, but their hearts were not steadfast for God and his word. Seems to me that lying is the key problem among God's people in the Old Testament and New Testament. We're supposed to be truthful people, not deceitful people. Israel forgot about God's amazing grace. God is compassionate and forgiving to his people because he remembers they are fleshly sinners. Time and again, when God has the right to pour out judgment, he does not do it. Israel forgot about the multiple times they rebelled against God. When people get out of fellowship with God, they do things that grieve him, not please him. And Israel forgot about God's delivering power from the Egyptians. This was an epic moment in the history of Israel when God targeted their enemies with miraculous plagues and she forgot it. Israel forgot about God's great power in leading her to the promised land. Israel forgot about how she rebelled against God in the promised land. Israel forgot about how God temporarily abandoned her and let her be destroyed. Israel forgot about God's restoration and salvation of Israel. Israel forgot about God's rejection of Israel. God rejected some of the people who totally turned their backs on him. There's no worse empty status in the entire world as the one that says, I am rejected by God. It's a lonely and empty existence. And Israel forgot about God's promotion of Israel. And we're not too surprised that she forgot about God's promising Judah over Joseph and Ephraim. But what is surprising is that she forgot about her King David, whom God appointed because he had a heart for God. David was probably the king when this psalm was written. And many in Israel were so alienated from God, they were forgetting about David and his commitment to the Lord. Think for a moment in the time of our lives when we've really blown it as a believer. Think back to those moments of loneliness, emptiness, the weariness and the despair. Now, in remembering this, think about God's grace and all you have seen God do for you and blessing you. Which kind of relationship do you want with God? Israel forgot all about this. We must make certain that we don't make the same mistake. This is the key point of Psalm 78.